Hello and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that examines new and notable research in the field of organizational behavior and how it can enhance your effectiveness as a manager. I'm Mike Johnson, an assistant professor of management and organization at the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. In today's episode, we talk with Sanford DeVoe, an assistant professor at the University of Toronto in the Department of Organizational Behavior and Human Resource Management. Sanford got his PhD at Stanford University, where he worked with Professor Jeff Pfeffer in looking at differences between hourly and salaried employees. We talk about papers that they recently published in both the Academy of Management Journal and Organizational Behavior and Human Decision Processes. Talking with us on Skype is Sanford DeVoe. Sanford, thanks for being on Under New Management.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
Well, Sanford, can you tell us how you became interested in looking at differences between hourly and salaried employees?
Yeah, it's a good question. When I graduated from college, I was a full-time research assistant, and I was paid a salary. And when I went to grad school, the first year you're paid a salary, you're given a stipend for the whole year. But your second year, suddenly you have to make up a certain amount of money through doing RA work or research assistant work. Mm-hmm. And that you have to account for the number of hours you do. So you're basically an hourly employee. And the way they do it there is they actually have billing sheets where you have to fill out how you spent your time on particular weeks. And on that sheet, there's this $25.50 sort of metric for how much time your money was worth. And what I found was that kind of filling that out every 2 weeks really provided me with this metric for the monetary value of my time, and I found that it was kind of affecting the way I was thinking about my time. So when I would purchase plane tickets, you know, I'd have to choose between a direct flight or a layover. Mm-hmm. Suddenly that layover had a kind of monetary value to me, and I was able to say, oh, it's worth about sort of this amount of money. And so even though it wasn't maybe the real value of the opportunity cost of my time or kind of the shadow price, what economists call that, I found that it was kind of affecting me in the way that I was thinking about my time, and it was sort of spilling over. So it wasn't just affecting me at work, it was also spilling over into the way I was thinking about my time outside of work.
That's interesting. In the papers, you talk about this idea of mental accounting, and that past research has shown that people tend to account for time and money differently, right?
Yeah, I mean, so when we started to review the literature on this, there are a bunch of great studies that have been done in decision making that look at how people think and make decisions about time and money. And sort of across the board, a really consistent finding in that literature is that people think about their time and money very differently, or they make very different decisions about the resources of time and money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more or less, that sort of became a puzzle, right? What are the conditions under which people might start to think about their time more like money? And one of the common explanations of the decision-making literature had come up with for why people treat the resources of time and money so differently is that it's just so hard to put a monetary value on every hour of your time. And so what an hourly wage does, in a sense, is really does that. It provides that metric for you.
Okay, and so what did you expect to find in this first paper?
Basically, I was a graduate student, and we were concerned about, well, how do we survey people on these sorts of attitudes, particularly because it's precisely the people who probably think about their time in terms of money that are the most unlikely to participate in a survey for free. Right?
Absolutely.
So we thought that, well, okay, well, let's get them when they have nothing else to do, and they really can't say no in any polite way. Uh-huh. And so I was handing out surveys at a commuter train. I would arrive about, you know, 5 to 7 minutes before the train would come and simply hand out surveys. And, you know, it was one of these things where pretty much everybody participated.
Interesting.
And so we surveyed people on some of these mental accounting measures, and we were able to replicate kind of prior findings that people tended to think about their time and money very differently. But we got this really neat interaction where that was only true for people who weren't paid by the hour. So people who were paid by the hour endorsed these statements in a similar fashion for the resources of time and money. So it was some evidence that they reported thinking about time and money in a similar fashion.
Right. And one of your findings also, wasn't it, that people who are paid by the hour, you found that they were willing to give up more time in order to get paid more?
I mean, one of the sort of problems with that kind of survey method is it opened up a whole host of questions, the least of which was sort of how representative were these people of hourly and salary population. And so we turned to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who they include a variable about, you know, whether or not you're paid by the hour. And one of the findings in that data set, and this was a really large representative data set of the U.S. population, was that hourly workers, when they're presented with a hypothetical trade-off, are much more willing to give up more of their time to earn more money. And importantly, this is true controlling for a whole host of different variables that might explain why people would make that trade-off. So things like income and the number of hours that people work.
Well, interesting. Okay, now in the second paper, you looked at differences in hourly and salaried employees, specifically in the context of volunteerism. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, and so one of the, I guess in 2003, the Bureau of Labor Statistics did their first real official time use survey. And so this was great because this was, you know, the minute details of how people spend their time. Mm. And this was a nationally representative survey. And the coding was quite elaborate. And so we started to look at the variable of being paid by the hour in that data set. And one of the consistent findings that, you know, after you hold constant a whole bunch of other variables that hourly and non-hourly workers tend to differ on, the only domain in which we saw statistical differences in how hourly and non-hourly people spent their time was in volunteering. And it was that hourly paid workers were less willing to volunteer their time. And so that, you know, was consistent with what we'd found in the first paper, in that if you're paid by the hour, it makes you think about your time in terms of money. And if you're thinking about your time in terms of money, you're probably much less likely to work unless you're getting paid for it.
So, Sanford, in the second study of this second paper, you kind of looked at whether you could actually manipulate the degree to which people mentally account for their time. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the lingering concerns we had was that maybe there was some individual difference that was explaining our results, or maybe it was that people who really thought about their time in terms of money self-selected into jobs that paid by the hour. Hmm. So we really wanted to be able to manipulate this to kind of pin down the causality. And so we went about this by, you know, simply having people report their yearly earnings, the number of hours they work per week, and the number of weeks they work per year. And what we found was that that manipulation only impacted people who weren't paid by the hour, and it affected them in the same way that people who were paid by the hour were responding. So in the context of volunteering, suddenly, simply by having people make that calculation, it made people who weren't paid by the hour less willing to volunteer their time. Whereas it didn't impact people at all if they were paid by the hour. They were low on willing to volunteer their time, regardless of whether or not they made that calculation.
Interesting. So, Sanford, what are the practical applications of your research for organizations?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. Certainly, if what you're trying to create in your employees is a greater willingness to give up more of their free time to earn more money, paying them by the hour or reminding them about the monetary value of their time seems like an effective strategy. Certainly, if you look at a patient where management's been able to create a state in employees where they give up an enormous amount of their free time, you know, you can just look at lawyers. And so what you've seen there is these are very kind of high-paid professionals, but they're also highly educated and have an enormous number of options. Yet, partly because they, you know, have to build their time or reminded about things like the monetary value of their time, you see them giving up more and more of their free time to the organization. Mm-hmm. So they'll, you know, respond to emails on the weekend almost at any time. And it's hard to imagine how they've been able to create that sort of psychological state of making employees so willing to give up so much of their free time.
Right, because it's all billable hours.
That has some potential benefits for the organization. But I also think that there are some unintended consequences, particularly if you're thinking about the whole person. Mm-hmm. So this is really where the volunteering work is insightful. You know, if how people are paid is affecting them outside the organization, that is sort of certainly very interesting. And if it's making them less willing to volunteer their time, there are a lot of societal costs there. Volunteering is a really interesting variable in the sense that typically it's one that enhances people's subjective and objective well-being. It's something that makes people happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think organizations really benefit necessarily if they're leading their employees to spend less time volunteering outside of work.
Absolutely. So, Sanford, what's the bottom line for managers?
Well, when you use practices that lead people to think about their time in terms of money, it's going to have consequences for the way they make decisions about their time. And since the way we think about time comes home with us, even when we leave work, it's really something people need to think about, particularly when they're managing people in the organization.
All right. Thank you very much for being on Under New Management.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.